You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. Good morning to you. Good morning, Rico. Had a pretty good game last night for game one of the World Series. I thought it was entertaining.
Certainly was an entertaining baseball game. The Dodgers are just, they're tremendous. They really are. Kershaw was sensational. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. No, I'm doing all right. Had a rough night, but I'll explain more around 10:30 for an observations.
Why so rough?
Well, I can't tell you now. I got to save it for an observations. I don't want to. I mean, that's called a tease in the business.
Oh, that's the hour and 45-minute tease you're going to
play
with
right.
Today.
Oh yeah,
it's quite the tease.
Little soft touch, little tease. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's quite.
Leave
the
with
tease.
A smile on your face.
It's tantric, really. I mean, what you're doing?
Hey, call me Sting. Call me Sting. You can call me Sting today.
It's the tantric tease is what you're doing in the radio world. So, I mean, Chris touched on a good baseball game. Did you find it curious that they left?
Yes.
Glasnow in the game.
Yes.
When he was clearly struggling. I mean,
you take
Morton out at 65 pitches, you leave Glasnow in for 111?
Well, it's game one, right? It almost felt like they realized with as well as Kershaw was throwing in how, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Rays the entire postseason, you know, outside of your favorite player or Rice Aroni, I mean, they haven't hit. They really haven't hit. I mean, and they strike out a ton. It was almost like, you know, we'll lose this battle to win the war.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to start unloading my bullpen because it doesn't feel like we have a real good chance to win this game anyway. That's how it felt. Because, you watch him during that inning. His velocity
was
there, but his secondary stuff was garbage.
Well, Kevin Cash talked about him trying to go out there and throw 104 miles per hour. It was clear that early on that kid was overthrowing the baseball. I thought both him and Kershaw early on were overthrowing the baseball. The difference was Kershaw was able to right himself at the end of that first inning and able to get out of having a couple of base runners on, and Tyler Glasnow wasn't. And he didn't get a feel for the game. He wasn't able to get his command, and eventually Cody Bellinger made him pay for it. And that was the beginning of the end for him, but also for the Rays in that game.
But that doesn't beat you. Like, I mean, you got to expect. I mean, the fact that the Dodgers have, you know, an MVP batting sixth in their lineup is a testament to how deep their lineup is, right?
They're a great team. They really are. I thought they were going to win the series before it started yesterday. And watching game one, I feel nothing but confident that they're going to win that series. I think from beginning to end, I think they've been the best team in baseball. I mean, there's really not much of a weakness on that Dodgers team at all.
No, I mean, the back end of their bullpen can be a little bit sketchy at
times.
I mean, that really is. I mean, if in the fact that Kershaw in the postseason hasn't been the Kershaw we're used to seeing in the regular season, but their lineup, their defense, I mean, the versatility of their lineup, it's one of the best in baseball. And on top of that, if you're Tyler Glasnow, and it kills you, it's the cliche in baseball, leadoff walks kill you.
Oh.
Leadoff walks will always come back to haunt you. And that's exactly what happened. And you sprinkle in the fact that you get one of the best players in baseball, Mookie Betts. Again,
stealing three bases in one inning,
but
essentially.
That's awesome.
But that's analytics out the window, man. This is the time where you have to put pressure on the other team. In these high pressure moments, if you can put pressure on the opposing team, you can force them to make plays, force them to make mistakes. And that's exactly what Mookie Betts did in that. He forced the action. And he got a great jump on Max Muncy's, you know, hard grounder to first, and he forced Yandy Diaz to make a good throw, and he didn't make a good throw. And there's a run.
And then after that, you had back-to-back RBI base hits by Will Smith and Chris Taylor, too, to tack on more runs.
And that was it. Night-night termite.
Yeah. I thought it was a huge double play ball that Gonzalez got off of Zunino in that seventh inning to get out of it, because it felt like the Rays were trying to mount a little bit of a comeback at that point.
Yeah, they were looking for an inning at that point. By the way, Zunino behind the plate is...
He's really good.
He's good.
I thought Austin Barnes was good behind the plate for the Dodgers, too.
It's glaring how much, like, the difference between watching Gary Sanchez catch and then watching someone like Zunino catch.
Zunino's a big dude. What'd you say?
Like, it's not like a Zunino. Like, Zunino's a big dude.
He's huge.
Like, he's like 6'2". I think they said like 235, 240.
No,
he's a
big huge
man.
Guy.
But he's agile back there, man.
It's terrific.
Kept everything in front of him. Kept everything in front of him. He gave
you
a chance.
Do.
You know what the biggest... Here watching that game last night and watching Mookie Betts for me, and I know, you know, Stanton had some big home runs and everything else, but I was sitting there thinking about the Yankees this morning. Stanton kills them. Like, Stanton, as far as the flexibility of your lineup hurts you, and on top of that, the flexibility with your payroll kills you. Like, I mean, you get the Yankees, in order to get where they want to get, like, either they're going to have to trade, I don't know who ends up being. It could be Andujar, whatever. Like, they need, you would imagine they need someone else in their starting rotation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
At least one more. But how much money are they going to be willing to spend? You're going to have to sign LeMahieu, right? You already got Cole. Well, don't you have to, though?
Yeah, it feels like it, but yeah, there's kind of rumblings that they might not. I mean, are you gonna? And I love LeMahieu. I think he's sensational. But are you gonna give him $23 million a year?
I would.
But I think that's, and I would, it's find a real decision the Yankees are gonna have to wrestle with, though.
Well, I think the other decision too is you have to decide, is Gleyber Torres gonna be your shortstop moving forward?
I don't think he can be.
Okay, so if that's the case too, now what do you do with shortstop? Do you decide? I mean, do you make the decision to maybe trade Luke Voit? Because, I mean, his value's at an all-time high.
Put LeMahieu at first. Torres back to second.
I think the rotation will be fine. I mean, I would like somebody, like, and Severino kills you, too. Like, not having a healthy Severino kills you. Because you don't have, I mean, you got Gerrit Cole and then a bunch of question marks. Because you got to imagine, Davey Garcia is going to be in the rotation.
Sure.
We all like him.
But you don't know that he's going to be a stud in year two. He's still a young kid.
Exactly right. And they didn't give him the opportunity to prove it. That's why game two would have been so important. If all of a sudden he pitches 5-6 innings and he looks good, that makes you feel good going into to next season. Montgomery was good. You'll have no Hap. I can't imagine they're going to bring back Paxton.
No.
If you can get Tanaka for the right money, you'd like to bring Tanaka back. And then we'll see what happens with Severino and then Herman. But I don't know, man. I know people like Stanton, and he was a former NL MVP. But he's, if he, at this age, for how many years you're going to have to pay him as much money as if he can only DH?
Right. He can't play.
He's a specialist, man.
Yeah. This is coming off a sensational postseason for him, too.
Yeah, but do you want to be paying? That's like paying. I mean, do you want to pay your field goal kicker $30 million a year?
No,
that's all he does.
And the only way you get him in the lineup.
No, I know, but the only way you get him in the lineup is to DH him.
Yeah,
that's it. So how do you give Jimmy? How do you give Aaron Judge a break? How do you give him? I mean, if Gary Sanchez is your catcher, how do you give him a break?
If you want to play Stanton, none of those other guys are afforded a break.
And you can't get Andujar in the lineup.
Nope. And Frazier didn't even play in big spots this postseason.
No, they went. Well, I mean, he had a pinch hit opportunity. He went with Mike Ford. So I don't know how you get around that. I don't know how willing. You know, after watching what Tampa does, spending. I mean, I think their payroll this season was $28 million.
I think Kershaw makes more than the entire Rays staff. The entirety of it.
No, I wouldn't doubt that. But when you start, I mean, if you're going to use the luxury tax as a soft cap, and it appears that's what Hal and the Yankees are going to do, then I don't know how you justify, and you're stuck with it because he's not opting out, paying a guy that's your DH that much money. It doesn't make any sense. The guy you pay that much money is a guy like Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
That can affect the game. And I mean, he can run the bases. Defensively, he's great. You saw how, I mean, he didn't have to hit to have an impact on a game.
The plays in Game 7 against the Braves were sensational. Nothing short of sensational. There's not a weakness in his game. And he's a little guy, but he's a great right fielder. He runs the bases. He hits for power. He hits for average. He gets on base. Like, there's not a weakness in his game. Nothing.
No. There's nothing. Like, there is nothing right now at the moment that you would change with Mookie Betts.
No.
The way he plays baseball. I mean, he's a five-tool baseball player. He can do anything. But that's who you would want to spend all that money on. And now you got a bunch of guys coming up in arbitration and everything else. I don't know, man. I don't know what the Yankees do moving forward. I really don't.
I think it's interesting this offseason. They have a lot of decisions to make.
I mean, you're starting to get to the point. We talked about their window where guys weren't making much money.
Like, that's about rubber, done.
Rubber's starting to meet road here.
Yep. You're going to have to pay all these guys.
So, I don't know where they go. And I just don't. It doesn't make any sense to me. And they did it. I get it. Maybe it was an overreaction because they didn't get Ohtani. But, I mean, to be locked in to a 30-year-old DH for the next 7 years.
At that kind of money. Yeah.
Especially if you're not going to be the big bad Yankees anymore, right? Like, you're not going to just go spend it.
Big bad Mets now.
Well, I mean, and the other thing I thought last night, listening to them break down the Dodgers, that's what you hope the Mets end up being.
Of course.
You take the analytics and everything else, you know, how to develop players and everything else, you know, finding, you know, diamonds in the rough like they used to do, like they do in Tampa, and you bring that all of a sudden to the Dodgers with that kind of payroll.
And you spend the money, right. And when Mookie Betts is available, you make a deal for him, you sign him to a long-term extension. Like that, I mean, the Mets are one step closer to Steve Cohen now.
Yeah, he got passed, which is good. It seems like, I mean, it seems like that's going smoothly.
It's going to happen. But think about this. I was reading today. He makes more than, so he's going to be the richest owner in baseball. 2, 3, and 4 combined don't have as much money as he does. The Mets are going to have the richest owner in baseball by 3 times, guys.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is that you use those resources in order to develop the infrastructure so you can get the most out of your players. Like when you add players to the organization, whether it's in free agency or whether it's through the draft, the most important thing is you get the most out of those players. And in order to do that, you have to have the right infrastructure in place. That means the right support staff, being able to integrate the analytics with solid coaching, and then understanding how you can get the guys to apply what you're trying to teach them to the game, to bring that to the games, and help that put your team in position to have success and ultimately get back into the postseason. That's what you're looking to do. And so you just got to – it's not enough to just have money and just throw it around. You got to make sure that you build the infrastructure. That means continuing to develop the scouting department, continuing to do all the little things, all the little upgrades that you're talking about doing, even putting the cameras in Citi Field so you can use that as a tool to educate your players on what they're doing well, what they're not doing so well. All of those little things matter. You're trying to look for improvements within the margin like Rick always talks about. Like, and when you had the Wilpons, it didn't seem like they were willing to do those things. But now that you got an owner with deep pockets, that feels like it's going to be the reality for the Mets moving forward. And that's a good thing.
It's a great thing. But why can't you do both? Like, why can't you be the team that's
going to
be
both.
Rays-esque and
no, they're
going to
do both.
They are going to
do both. The Dodgers do both. I mean, it's exactly what the Dodgers do.
Be that. Do that. Make that the blueprint. That the game plan. So if it's Trevor Bauer and you want to pay him $45 million for 1 year, you know what? Let's do it. You want to bring LeMahieu in and bring like Realmuto? I want to spend to the nines, and I want to put the infrastructure in place like you're talking about.
Yeah, but I think the other thing, too, which is nice, which will be something that we haven't had here with the Mets, is that if you do make a mistake, You can
cover it up like the Yankees do, like in Ellsbury.
Exactly right.
Right? You make a mistake, blows up in your face. You know what? We have so much money, we can outspend that mistake.
Yeah. I mean, what you want to do is you want to, draft well, develop players. Now, because you have the money, you have the opportunity that once you do develop the players and they do become, like, you're not going to be in the same situation as, like, the Cleveland Indians are in, where all of a sudden, they got these guys who they've developed, but now they need big money and you can't afford to pay them.
Right.
Now, because you have deep pockets, you develop, and you can afford to keep your own guys. And then, if you need to spend the money to add a piece or two, you have that ability. I mean, that's what you want.
It's great.
I would rather not just go out and spend willy-nilly. Like, I don't need, a bunch of hired assassins all the time. I don't need that.
I'm not opposed to that, though.
No, but I like the foundation of this team to be, homegrown that you've developed. And then when you need to add pieces, you can add pieces.
Well, that's fine. But I mean, maybe Trevor Bauer would be a huge addition.
Yeah, but this is different, though. That's what I'm saying long term. But if initially you want to make a splash, like if you're Steve Cohen, you want to make a splash, I agree with you. You want to go outside Trevor Bauer. Like, there's enough talent. We've already said that. Like, the Mets had plenty of talent to be a playoff team.
The Marlins can make the playoffs. The Mets could have made the playoffs.
I mean, to have 16 teams, eight in your league, and not make the playoffs, not even come close to making the playoffs, is an utter embarrassment.
Yeah, it was a travesty, really.
Right? I mean, it really was. Like, it's an embarrassment is what it was.
They were the most talented team not to make the playoffs. I think that's fair to say. I think that's a fair assessment.
Does that make you feel good or bad?
No, it makes me feel bad, but I mean, you have the opportunity now with new ownership. You have Sandy Alderson involved. I mean, you get rid of Brody Van Wagenen if they want to, I personally, because, having been around the atmosphere that is the New York Mets, kind of like do your own thing. Like, I would much prefer seeing someone like a Buck Showalter hired, like someone like that, that's going to come in, instant credibility, hold guys accountable, set a standard. That's what they need. That's how you get. It's like what the Cowboys are dealing with right now. They got plenty of talent. The culture sucks. It's a country club. That's what it is. Got a bunch of guys that it's tough to eat because they're full because they all got paid and they're not giving max effort.
It's sensational.
I know you love it.
Oh God.
But I think that's what's going. I really believe that's what goes on with the Mets. Is that it's a bunch of guys just kind of doing their own thing, and they don't have.
That's really not okay.
No, it isn't okay. But that's how you underachieve. Okay. But that's the reason why you would underachieve with that much talent.
And they're disjointed. Like, what kind of team are they? You know, they're a subpar defensive team. Their bullpen is mediocre. They're kind of built on starting pitching, but then they have some real holes in starting pitching. They're a mess.
Yeah, they weren't well built. I mean, we know.
Is that a surprise when you talk about the general manager being a former agent?
No. So. I mean, they are worse now than when he took over.
Oh, clearly. And the sad part about it is he mortgaged parts of your future
the
now.
To win now. Because remember what he told
underachieved. Us. The 2 years that he's been the general manager, they haven't come close to realizing the expectations that he set when he took the job.
Right. We're going to win now and in the future is what he told us. Well,
flew it to the top.
The now never happened. All the way.
Lighter fluid.
Over. Yeah.
Burned the whole damn thing down.
Well, you know what? It's going to change moving forward here. Let's go to Sean in Jersey and we'll switch over to the NFL.
Canty, that should have been the follow-up. Now, could you please, what kind of fluid are we talking about?
Yes. Excuse me, sir.
Could you identify the fluid?
Yes. Sean in Jersey, lead us off, and then we'll get into the NFL. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, good morning, DCR.
What's up, Sean?
An idea that I haven't heard been floated around, but I think it's a pretty good idea. I want to see what you guys think about it. What about trying Stanton at first base?
You're not going to put Stanton at first base, no. I mean, they already told you, too. They do not want him out in the field. They'd probably prefer not to have him run the bases
even
at this point.
Wow.
You can't just stick anyone at first base. You can't do it. I mean, you already have –
You got Luke Voit at first base. Why are you going to mess with that?
No, you're not. And if it's not Luke Voit and you decide to trade Luke Voit and you put – you know, you re-sign DJ LeMahieu, I mean, that's
– You put him at first. Yeah,
I don't mind that either.
That's the beauty of DJ LeMahieu, though. You can play him at first, second, or third. Like, the versatility that he gives you defensively. And then, I mean, you put him anywhere in your lineup, he's gonna be productive. Like, I like him as the leadoff batter because he's going to put the ball in play. He's going to get on base. But, I mean, it doesn't matter where you put DJ LeMahieu in the field or in your lineup. He's going to be a really good baseball player, which
he's
is why
terrific.
I think you got to resign him. But to Rick's point earlier, man, I just as much as we didn't need the Stanton signing, I just don't feel like Stanton is the reason why this team can't get over the hump. You know what I'm saying? I think the biggest issue for this team going into the offseason is addressing the starting pitching rotation. That's got to be the biggest issue.
Do you do that, though? But my point is, how do you do that? Like, if you don't
You're going to have to spend money. You're going to have to spend money.
I don't know what their appetite is to do that.
I don't either, but they're going to have to. If they want to compete for a championship, you're going to have to spend money because we don't know what Severino is going to be. We don't know the status of Domingo Germán. I mean, you like what you saw from Davey Garcia, but he's going to be a back-of-the-rotation kind of guy. Same with Jordan Montgomery. So, I mean, you got to figure out a way to have those guys slotting in at the second and third spots behind Garrett Cole, and we
Absolutely
just don't know who those guys are going
to
be.
But do you need to do it now? Like, do you need to do it this offseason, or you can wait, watch the season play out, and then make a deal for one of those
guys? It just depends on what your timeline is. If you're trying to compete for a championship while you still have these guys under team control at relatively friendly rates, then that's probably a situation where you're going to have a little more urgency behind doing it now as opposed to waiting until later.
I'm saying I can wait till the All-Star break. Like, the Yankees are going to be a postseason team.
Oh, you're talking about, whether you do it before the season starts or, at the trade deadline. I get what you're saying. I'm not sure, but I think we don't have all of the information. Like, if I felt good about Luis Severino being ready to roll, sometime in the middle of the summer, then maybe I wait until the trade deadline. But if his rehab isn't going, according to plan, if things aren't on schedule, then maybe that factors into me being more aggressive this offseason. I just think that the Yankees have to address the starting pitching. Like, I know it sounds like a broken record. We keep saying it every single winter. But to me, that was obvious in the ALDS against the Rays. Like, their starting pitching was better than ours. And their bullpen was better than ours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the part of it as a Yankees fan. I feel like that's what we need to focus on. Because Stanton was phenomenal in the postseason. He was great.
He certainly was. Does Marcus Stroman interest you?
No, I'm all set on him. I'm good. good on him.
Why are you laughing?
I'm good on him.
Trevor Bauer's not going to the Yankees.
I'm good on him.
They might be a
Trevor Bauer
like
feels like a Met to me. I don't know why.
It's going to be a trade. It feels like the Yankees, if they're going to make a move for a starting pitcher, it's going to be a trade. Because they got guys right now.
Which I'm not opposed to.
What's
wrong?
They don't have any room for.
Yeah. You got to get rid of Andujar, right? You have to make that decision.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to.
The only reason you didn't do it last offseason is because you didn't know what Gio Urshela really was. Like, you liked it, but you weren't sure. And so he followed it up with another solid year in 2020. So now you know that's going to be your third baseman, period. So you can move on from Andujar because you can't put him out in the outfield.
No.
So.
Well, you didn't realize that Clint Frazier would be this good, too. So now that there really is no spot for him.
But can we make him an everyday player already?
Well, I think he's at that point. I mean,
okay, well, let's do that.
Depending on what they want to do with Gardner, you'll have Hicks in center field, and then you'll have Judge and Wright. I just don't like, listen, Stanton was great in the postseason. I just personally, my own personal opinion, is if you're not going to go out and be the big bad Yankees and spend all this money to be hamstrung by a guy who's only going to be your DH for the next 7 years, making $30 million a year.
You're not wrong, but he didn't cost you this postseason.
Agreed.
I'm not saying he cost you the postseason. I didn't say that at all. I'm saying moving forward. Does he now all of a sudden, you know, hinder your ability to make the necessary moves to get you over the hump?
Probably. But I don't think there's a lot you can do. Like he's locked in.
Yeah. I understand that, but it limits your opportunity. It limits your options now. Like, does it now, does this all of a sudden now, because you realize, okay, what do we need? Our bullpen wasn't nearly as good as we thought it was going to be. Maybe we move out of Vino, but we don't have the depth that we like, so we need to spend some money there. We got a bunch of, you know, guys coming up in ARB, so Judge is going to get a raise. If we keep Gary Sanchez, he's going to get a raise.
Sure, yep.
Glaber's going to get, like, everyone's going to get raises. Now, do we say, okay, we need starting pitching more than we need to keep DJ LeMahieu because I'm paying Stanton $30 million because I want to stay under a certain number?
You got to keep LeMahieu, though. You got
to. You have to.
I don't think
I agree
that's
with
a foregone conclusion, though. I really don't.
He's been one of the best players in baseball over the last 2 years.
I agree with you, but is he one of the best players in baseball at $25 million a year over 4 years?
Well, listen, you're worth whatever someone is willing to pay you.
There you
correct.
Go.
So if, so if someone out there is willing to give him a sweetheart deal, you're the Yankees, are you just going to match it? Or are you going to, you have to be, not
that's
conservative, but you have to be careful with it.
That's the question, though. But he is hitting free agency at the perfect time. Age, I don't mean age-wise. I just mean by, like, we're so focused on the analytics that to have a guy, you know, in your lineup like DJ LeMahieu is what a lot of these teams need.
And I think his age is actually going to work to help the Yankees be able to keep him.
What is he, 32?
He's 33, I think.
33?
Yeah. So that'll be working for the Yankees. So you just hope, you know, you hope that he likes it here, and you hope that Brian Cashman is willing to spend to keep him, and then you hope that that contract doesn't keep you from doing some of the other things that you think the team needs to do this offseason in order to improve. But, I mean, something's got to be done. Something about the approach that they've had the last few years hasn't been working. I mean, you're talking about them being ousted, what, in the ALDS 2 out of the last 3 years? So, I mean, something about that has to change.
I think a lot of this year was bad luck. I think a lot of this year was bad luck, though. I hate to give him an out, but I think that Cashman really felt like he thought he addressed the pitching. Like, he had the pitching staff where, like, Cole was the missing piece. Mm-hmm. And then with Paxton
got hurt.
Yeah, Paxton went down.
Herman with his issues. Because think about it. If they're healthy, if their rotation is healthy. And
yeah,
all of a sudden
if Paxton is healthy, you don't see J-Hap. Like, that happened in game two doesn't – that's not even a thing. You're giving the ball to James Paxton. Go out and pitch 5-6 innings.
And then the loss of Tommy Canley getting hurt was huge. Huge for them. Yeah.
But it's still the Yankees. And the expectation is that you're going to overcome whatever stands in your way.
No, but I think to what we're talking about, and Kay's been saying the same thing. Like, if you're Hal Steinbrenner, and it feels like this entire time, like since Hal has taken over the team, it feels like, you know, and he said it a couple different times, you can win a championship without outspending $200 million, right? Like, it feels like that's what he wants his legacy to be. Like, you know, what will separate him from his dad is he doesn't want to hear people saying he bought a championship. Like, we can do it a different way. We'll spend the money, but we want to do analytics and everything else to, you know, to win a championship that way.
If Steve Cohen goes out and spends $400 million and the Mets win a championship, I'd be thrilled.
No, I would too. But I'm saying, like, that's the feeling I get.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't know how true it is. Okay, but if that's the case, and you're watching Tampa do what they're doing, spending the money that they're spending, like, what's your appetite to go out and spend even more than you're already spending? For what? To be disappointed
To win?
Again? Well, it hasn't worked yet. I mean, at some point, it has to pay off.
Looks like it's about to pay off for the Dodgers.
Right.
And we'll see what happens. I don't know what they will have to, especially with, you know, no fans and everything else, like how much this season has affected.
Yeah, they may not want to go out and spend huge money this offseason.
Yeah, but, I mean, just naturally, just how it works. You're going to end up spending, you know, more money this
season. Well, you're
going to,
all the guys
season.
That are going to get more money just because they're, you know, eligible for arbitration is going to be a considerable amount. If you want to keep LeMahieu, that's going to go up a ton.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're spending more money. Paxton will come off the books. Probably Tanaka will come off the books.
Hap
will come off the books. But there's real decisions. This is a very, I think for the Mets and the Yankees, very intriguing off seasons.
Yeah. I mean, I did.
I would agree with that, but I feel like there's going to be more change that happens over in Flushing than it happens in the Bronx.
Yeah, but I think the difference is I think there's more trepidation with the Yankees than there's more excitement with the Mets.
Right. Oh, no, I think people are thrilled.
Like, there's probably some, like, I would be a little bit concerned whether or not the Yankees are going to re-sign DJ LeMahieu.
I think you have to be. Hope he stays. Like, even though I don't like the Yankees, I love watching him play every day.
You know, Dave, you're right. It's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to re-sign him, but to me it just seems like it's so obvious that they should. I mean, you can make the argument that the guy has been the MVP of the team the last couple of years. That was a great signing by Cash. It's a great deal.
Him? What were they paying him?
What is it, 2 years, $24 million, $12 million
a year? Listen, I love him, but it's a great signing at 2 years, 24. Is it a great signing at 4 years and 100?
Is it going to cost that much to keep him?
I think in that range.
It's going to cost you $25 million a year?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, we'll see.
Four for 90? I mean, you're going to pay something like that?
We'll see. We'll see what it ends up being. And who knows, man? Maybe the guy likes it here. Maybe he likes it here.
Maybe he does. Yeah. I hope he stays. I really do. I love watching him play baseball.
Yeah, but this is his, but you got to realize, too, this is his last. I mean, this is his last bite.
He's 32.
He'll be 32, yeah.
So he's 32 now, so he'll 4 years, 30. This is his last legitimate deal. And you could even argue that the last deal he was on wasn't a huge deal.
No, it wasn't a huge deal at all. I mean, that was like, I'm going to go play for the Yankees, make right. $12 million bucks, and just prove everyone.
Prove myself, and then I'll get a big deal, and it's worked out exactly as he wants.
Yep.
If the Yankees want him, they'll keep him.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the case. I mean, if I'm Aaron Boone, I'm going to war to keep DJ LeMahieu. It's not even a question. Like, this is the guy that has to stay. I mean, he's been the heart.
Such a good player.
He's been the heart and soul of your team over the last 2 years.
Yep,
he really has. He probably should have won the MVP last year.
He's a great player. Let's go to Jay and Dick Sills. Jay, you're next up on 98.7.
How you doing, morning, fellas?
What's up, Jay?
What's up, guys? I know you guys are harping on the pitching for the Yankee staff, and I don't disagree with you guys on that, but I think you guys are making it more than it really is, because when in the do or die games, when it came down to it, it wasn't the pitching that beat the Yankees. It was the bats. So they're concerned with just hitting bombs and hitting home runs.
But that's all the Rays are doing, man. But timeout. That's all the Rays are doing. That's all the Rays have done the entire postseason, is hit home runs or strike out. That's it. Outside of a Rosarena, all they've done is hit home runs or strike out.
Okay, but in that last game, three hits for the Yankees?
Three hits for the Rays.
All the Rays did was hit home runs in that game, too.
I understand that, but I'm saying that all
you
the
don't understand that.
Paying,
you don't understand that, because you keep going back to the same tired thing that it was the lineup. The Rays are doing exactly what the Yankees have done, and they're in the World Series. You got beat by the Rays. You got beat by the Rays because your defense is not as good and your bullpen wasn't as deep.
Correct.
That's why you got beat.
That's right.
Because you had to go from Garrett Cole
and
to
the starting pitching in game two was awful.
Was a joke.
So I understand, but it has not. So you're saying that has nothing to do with bats. When they lost to the Astros, it had nothing to do with bats.
No, that's part of it. But that's not the only reason.
I agree.
The bats in the past have been a problem. The bats in the past have been a problem. I don't think the bats were the number one culprit this postseason.
No, it was pitching. It was pitching.
I think a lack of trust in who was going to start game two.
Yeah, the decision-making, too.
The Fakakta plan, where, you know, he didn't even give Davey Garcia an opportunity. He went to J-Hap. He was uncomfortable. I mean, listen to what Kevin Cash says. Hey, Kevin, how come this works? Well, because everyone buys in. The second that game was over, the first thing out of J-Hap's mouth was, I wasn't really happy with the decision. The second you hear that as a manager, this is the second you change the
plan.
Right. I don't care what analytics say.
That's right.
You've been a player before. You know how this works. It made no sense at all.
No,
and then you get to game, and then you get to game five, and you decide, you know, this is how it's going to be set up. And because you trusted no one, you'd already used Chad Green, so he looked like he was unavailable. You were going to go straight from Cole to Britton to Chapman,
which you did,
and you overextended those guys,
especially because, I mean, you went. Why didn't Britton get that last out? As a lefty, he was rolling. Like, you need to bring Chapman in that situation
in the seventh.
But then it was all righties. Like, if you had a righty in your bullpen, like, who was going to pitch extras? If it went to extra
innings? That's what I said the day after. God knows. I don't know what you would have done.
Yeah, what was their strength ended up turning to be one of their weaknesses in the postseason was the bullpen.
Yeah, their bullpen for the guys they trusted was great, but they did not have enough arms that they trusted.
Well, they only trusted three guys.
Right.
That was it.
And when you have to play five consecutive days, it's just it's not enough.
Yeah, Major League Baseball screwed everyone too by not telling everyone that they're going to play straight days like that in the postseason.
Because that definitely changes roster construction.
But you won game one, man. You won game one. Why not let Davey Garcia just pitch or J-Hap pitch game two?
They outthought themselves.
But if you lose, you lose.
They got too cute.
Oh, my God.
The 2020 Yankees will be remembered for that game two for a long time.
Oh, 100%.
It was mismanagement.
Yeah, 100%.
It really was.
There's nothing that they can say, Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, that's going to get the fan base off of that one.
Nope. It was mismanagement.
But isn't that how? But isn't that, like, look back. Like, just I mean, even go back to when the Red Sox won the World Series. You know, how many different guys? And it wasn't, Evaldi, he stepped up and, you know, how he pitched and, you know, the way he did in tough spots. But, I mean, Brock Holt, the game. But it always feels like it's like that one, you know, it's one or two guys that you don't expect that all of a sudden play above the X's and O's and help you to win a game or a championship. Like, why not at that moment just give Davey Garcia an opportunity? Maybe he surprises you. At least give him, like, did anyone expect a Rosarena to be as good as he's been this postseason?
Nope. People didn't even know who he was before the postseason.
Exactly right. Like, Clayton Kershaw, I mean, historically one of the best regular season pitchers in the history of the sport. Not as good in the postseason. It's not a foregone conclusion that what you do in the regular season is what you're going to do in the postseason.
No.
You got to give guys opportunities.
And sometimes guys that you're unfamiliar with turn into heroes in the postseason.
Instead of hamstringing. But you hamstrung both guys.
It was bad managing.
I think it was, I mean, it was...
Or whatever. It was bad, you know, organizational decision-making or managing or however you want to pigeonhole.
Yeah, but don't lie. But don't lie to my face and tell me that Aaron Boone's not a puppet. I got more respect for Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone, the player, if the manager tried to sell him that load of crap, would say there's no way. We're not doing it. The second J-Hap reacts the way that J-Hap reacted, Aaron Boone knows this is not a good idea.
Yep. And they went through with it anyway.
Yeah, and it failed.
And it's going to haunt you all offseason.
Yep.
It will. All right, 800-919-37.
Still don't like J-Hap, though.
7-6, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Go out there and pitch, man.
Right. Go out there and take care of business, and he couldn't do it. And now the World Series, of course, tonight on 98.7 ESPN Radio, presented by AutoZone. Catch all the action of Game 2 tonight after Carlin on 98.7 ESPN and the ESPN app. But just to let you all know, before we go to our next break, Chris is going to tell us about Straight Talk Wireless. We're not there yet, but Santiago, just so you're appropriately prepared.
You feel better now that you did that, Dave? You feel better?
Yeah.
You're giving Santi a hard time? Poor guy's back there by himself in the control room? That's what you want to do? Such a bad guy, Dave Rothenberg.
How so?
I don't know why you want to be a bad guy today. You on one today, man.
Maybe I'm on edge for the Giants game tomorrow night.
I don't know why you would be. I thought you said the Giants already sucked the life out of you.
They stink, but you know what? They have a meaningful game. You as bad as they are, and they are, we can't deny the fact that they have a meaningful game tomorrow night.
Okay, well, wake me up when Daniel Jones beats an NFC East opponent not named the Washington football
team. So if the Giants win tomorrow, when we get into studio or wherever we are on Friday and we do this show, you will be singing a different tune on Friday morning.
Well, I hope that's the case, Dave. I hope that's the case. I really do. But I think I got enough of a sample size and I've seen enough turnovers from Daniel Jones to realize if he keeps doing that, this team is not going to have a shot at being able to win many more games this season. At some point, it's got to change. The kid's got 32 turnovers in 18 games. Is that good?
No, it's terrible.
Oh, okay, it's terrible. Now, he's going up against a pass defense in the Eagles that only has 2 interceptions. So hopefully he can take advantage of some of those matchups on the back end, and we'll see what happens with Sterling Shepard. But, I mean, the one thing I will say is a big concern for this Giants team and for Daniel Jones specifically is this Eagles pass rush because they can still get after the quarterback. So that's the one thing that you got to watch going into this game, short week, Thursday night on the road.
Wouldn't you imagine, though, if the Giants were to win this game, it would be Daniel Jones protecting the football, but it would be the defense probably?
Yeah, you'd probably win it similarly, hopefully not as stressful and awful, but similarly to how you beat Washington.
Yeah, the Washington football team, which
you're
going to have to wait at least another year, apparently, for them to get a new name.
Which is stupid. What?
That makes no sense.
I don't understand what they're doing, man. Pick a name and roll with it. Is it really that hard?
No.
Apparently. It's almost sad when you look at like the spreads and stuff, and it's like the football team.
So unless we're using a racial slur, we have a hard time coming up with a team name?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. It can be tricky.
Pretty much.
Okay. Not sure what that says about your ownership.
The lack of creativity. Let's get past the racial slurs.
I mean, you can't have like a contest. Like, think of the name. One person, you have a million tweets.
Or just
one
talk
name,
to the guy that's already copyrighted like 20 names and say, hey, man, which one of these you think fits the team the best?
Yeah. Got all the good ones. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
It really is. But again, back to the Giants tomorrow. So when you look at Philadelphia, no Miles Sanders, no Zach Ertz. May not have Lane Johnson. I mean, this is a pedestrian team to begin with, and they're all banged up, Rick.
Well, their offensive line is a mess. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is the rash of injuries. I mean, that the Eagles have dealt with. I mean, it's crazy, but they find a way. I mean, you know, they fight till the very end, and we talked about it yesterday. I mean, they played two of the best defenses in the National Football League. Now, they didn't win games, but they still found a way to score 57 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's you're going to have your hands full. I don't care how many injuries. Like, Doug Peterson,
I agree with
coaching
you.
Staff finds a way to get the job done. No excuses. And it's not like, here's the thing though, even with the decimated offensive line, it's not like the strength of the Giants is their ability to get after quarterback.
No, it's not.
So it's like, I mean, what?
Although a strip sack did change the game for them against Washington.
Now
on
he's
Sunday.
Out. Now your best defensive player's out.
Yeah.
Tate Crowder's out.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens, but to your point, Rick, Doug Peterson is creative. Like, he'll have some wrinkles in there that the Giants defense hasn't seen. And I got to think that he'll have a package of plays for Jalen Hurts and try to test the Giants a little bit that way, using them on some wildcat type of situations, getting them out on the perimeter of the defense, stressing the defense that way. Like, you got to think that he's going to be a big part of whatever you're going to do. Because on a short week, you talk about a lack of time to prepare. Like, that would be one of the things that could make it difficult on a defense if you hadn't really had a lot of practice reps on the field with that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, you still got Travis Fulgham out there, and he's had a pretty good month in terms of his ability to impact that offense. So, we'll see what happens. But
yeah, they're not talentless. Their quarterback is still – I still think he's pretty
no,
good.
I mean, even when they were talentless at the end of last year, Carson Wentz dragged that team kicking and screaming. Where'd they win? Four of the last five games?
Yeah.
To get to the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
And then carried over all that momentum to this season.
No, well, he got knocked the hell out by Damian Clowney.
I think
that's
that
what
point.
It was. That momentum ran into Clowney.
Yeah, momentum does not carry. Let's go to some of the calls. Yeah. People are excited for this Giants game. I'm not going to let the two of you poo-poo what the Giants are. They're a 1-5
no
team fighting
it.
For a division.
It's a
fighting,
game.
Clawing,
it's a
scratching
game.
For a division championship.
This is important for your coaching staff. This is important for your, you know, your young head coach. This is important that your team is still in it. And there were some positives. Listen, I mean, the fact of the matter is the Washington football team is not a very good team. And
they're terrible.
You won by a point.
The Giants are terrible.
It was a scoop and score, and it was a failed two-point conversion.
Yeah, you won because Ron Rivera decided he was going to go for two rather than kick the extra point and go in the overtime.
I will say this, though. One of the positives for me that came out of that game was the offensive line did a pretty good job.
Yes. With Matt Parrott as left tackle, the offensive line did look better.
Against a good front.
So, so that's a positive thing. They're moving in the right direction.
Yep, hopefully. Let's go to some of these excited Giants calls. Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey, you're next up on 98.7.
Hi, good morning, CC Humpty. I don't know why you guys are upset. I love Cheeky
Dave. Good morning, Dempsey. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I said I love Cheeky Dave this when he's happy about the Giants. Tomorrow we could be first in the division. He's excited. I don't know why you guys are poo-pooing him and the Giants. I love it. You guys,
because you know what's going to happen. No, because you know what's going to happen.
Come on.
Well, you know what's going to happen. He goes from not showering, you know, sitting on his couch, eating his feelings. You know, they've killed me. I'm dying inside. To all of a sudden, they're 1-5, and we got a meaningful game on Thursday. He's going to pump himself all up. God forbid they lose. We'll have no one to drive the show on Friday. He'll be useless.
But that's what the Giants do. They do the same thing to me. I live off my emotions with the Giants.
But you don't have to drive the show. Yeah, but you don't have to drive the show on Friday. Dave does.
We love him in the show. But you guys already mentioned a rash of the injuries for the Eagles. I think a big thing about the Giants, though, is Sterling Shepard going
to
be back?
Sounds like it.
But you could lose. But Slayton, what's going on with Slayton?
Yeah, I'm not sure with that. I have him in one of my fantasy teams. He says he's questionable. It's just he has a Q on his name, but they haven't given any updates of it. I don't know. I have a little bit of optimism with this Giants team or whatever. I think I've been saying it on all the different stations for the last 4 weeks. I think this Giants defense is a lot better than advertised. They play well up to their talent level. They pay above their talent level, I think, for how they play. You know, I think they're going to make a lot of noise, and
they're
I think they're going to take this game.
I hope
the Giants' defense is solid. The Giants' defense ain't going to be the reason that you lose a lot of games. Although it was the reason why you lost to the backup quarterback Nick Mullins and the 49ers. But, I mean, outside of that, the Giants' defense has been solid. It's been good.
Yeah, they're fine. I mean, let Andy Dalton
They're a lot better than we thought they would be coming into this
season. They're better than we thought they would be, yes. And the offense is way less than we thought they would be.
Agreed.
I mean, we remember this offseason, guys, when we talked about the Giants' offense and we went through all of it and said, God, they're going to be good. And they have Saquon and they have Shepard and it's Engram and it's Tate and all this talent, Daniel Jones year two.
And Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator. Yeah. The Giants' offense is supposed to be a lot better than it is right now. And this is not all on Saquon Barkley being injured in the second game.
No. Let's be honest. The Giants' offense stinks.
Yeah, the Giants' offense is bad.
Right? I mean, it's just not good. Let's go to Ryan in Middlesex. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7.
Guys, help me as a Giants fan. How do we approach this game? The common reaction with fans is every win just pushes us farther back in the draft. But guess what? We've had top picks, and where has that gotten us? In fact, look at the teams who are in the top every year. They're drafting, in the 20s in Seattle and Kansas City as well, and they're in the top. So my question to you guys is, why not go win some games? Why not sneak into the playoffs at 7-9? Let me enjoy a playoff game that we get blown out. And so what if we're drafting 14th, 15th? Because I'm watching draft picks from the second, third, fourth, and fifth rounds play better than first-round picks. So what do you guys think? What do you think?
Well, you had the fourth overall pick. It doesn't look like you made the right selection anyway. So, I mean, you took Andrew Thomas, and it looks like Mekhi Becton was probably the guy to take. No, I mean, this is
– any one of those other three tackles would have been the guy to take in comparison to what Andrew Thomas has given the Giants. Any one of them.
Yeah, Chris, you know this too. I mean, yeah, it's – when you're rebuilding, it's great to have, draft picks and everything else. But more importantly, when you have a new head coach and you're trying to change the culture inside that building, winning is more important. If this team could find a way after an 0-5 start to somehow sneak into the playoff, that would be huge for Joe.
Oh, my God. It would change the entire trajectory of the organization. You'd feel great about it.
Well, you got to learn how to win. You got to learn how to win. It's a relatively young team, but you do have some solid veterans on that team. Like, I love the addition of Drane Bradbury. He has been as good as advertised. Like, that's money well spent. Like, Dave Gettleman actually got that one right.
Martinez has been good, too.
Terrific.
Yeah, Martinez has been good. Fackrell has been good.
Yes, he has.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, those additions have been good on the defensive side of the ball. Now you'll see what happens the rest of the way. But if this young team can figure out how to win games, then that's when you feel like you got something. And most importantly, if Daniel Jones can figure out how to stop turning over the football, I think the Giants will have more opportunities for wins as we move into the second half of the season.
Yeah, there's your key.
Yeah.
And that's going to define more than this season. Like, if he continues to turn it over and they continue to lose games and you go 2-14 or 3-13 and he's bad, I think you have to have that conversation of what are we going to do?
Yeah, I think that's going to define Dave Gettleman's tenure as the New York Giants general manager. Like, if Daniel Jones cuts out the turnovers and we see more of the flashes that we've seen, like the 50-yard run last week or the dime that he threw to Darius Slayton, like, if we see more of those plays, if that becomes more consistent and he takes care of the football, then the Giants would have felt like they found their franchise quarterback. And I got to think, if he does those things, that's going to equate to this team winning more games. Now, are they going to go to the playoffs? I don't think so. But the biggest thing is answering the question of whether or not you got a franchise quarterback.
Do you think there's any way six wins could win the division?
I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility.
I mean, you could win six games.
I don't.
I mean, you're laughing, Dave. I mean, the Cowboys seem like they're a complete mess. I mean, the Eagles,
stink.
It seems like it's someone new. It's one or two of their better players each week gets hurt.
Football team is bad.
Yeah, I mean, is it possible?
I mean, Philly's, 1-4-1?
Mm-hmm.
Which is another reason why. Why is Ron Rivera not just, even if you tie, it's better than losing?
Exactly. That's why I don't understand.
It was a terrible decision.
What are you doing, man?
But you know what he's doing. Rico, you know what he's doing, though, man.
He
decided to bench Dwayne Haskins and put him at third string and start Kyle Allen. He's trying to make every decision to support the one that he made a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, this was not handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch.
That's exactly what it was, because we want Russell Wilson to be Super Bowl MVP and pay him a huge contract.
Yep.
I'm Riverboat Ron. Listen, watch me roar is what it was. Right?
I don't know. All of a sudden, he's Katy Perry?
Yeah, pretty much.
Why would you bet on Kyle Allen? Of all the people, you going to risk it all on Kyle Allen?
And it was, I mean, they were nowhere near to succeeding on that play. No,
it was bad.
Is your head in the right place here, Rick? I mean, are you really focused on Hockey Trivia Day?
I'm dialed in.
Okay. All right. Let's bring it. And if you're not in a great mood, that will change when you hear the excitement in the voice of one Andy from America. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR.
So good. How are you?
Never disappoints. Never disappoints.
Andy, are you ever in a bad mood?
I'm talking to the smartest sports show guys in the country. Why would I be in a bad mood?
You bring up valid points, Andy, valid points.
You know, but I am feeling a little feisty, Dave, and because of that, we're going to talk about the bruisers in hockey, the team's all-time leading penalty minutes, starting with the Boston Bruins. Who is their career leader in penalty minutes?
Ooh, is that O'Reilly?
It's got to be you,
O'Reilly?
Is that your answer?
Is it in career?
Career.
Could it be Nylund?
Ooh, Nails? I don't know if he was there.
I don't know. I'm simply throwing it out there.
Most penalty minutes. I think it has to be. Doesn't it have to be Terry?
It's Terry. How about Milbury?
Oh, he beat me.
Come on, Ricky. Spit it out.
O'Reilly. It's Terry O'Reilly.
Bloody O'Reilly is correct.
There you go, Rico.
Mike did beat someone with his own shoe, which is
at the Garden.
So disrespectful.
That is disrespectful. That is disrespectful.
He was hitting Ranger fans. It was okay.
It was not okay. He went into the crowd.
I wish it was you.
Poor wow.
Me or Andy?
No, you, David.
Why would you want him to beat me with a shoe?
Oh, because you're a Rangers fan. Andy's an Islanders fan like me.
You bet. Hey, the Chicago Blackhawks all-time leading penalty minutes leader. Who is he? Surprising all-time leader.
Is it Chelios?
Soft hand Chelios is correct.
Oh, I mean, look what I do. I'm not even a hockey guy.
The Greek.
I don't know why they
called
him soft hands with all those penalty minutes, but that was his nickname.
Well, he was just there forever.
He was only in Chicago for 9 years. Played 26 seasons.
Unbelievable.
Detroit Red Wings, all-time leader in penalty minutes.
Probert.
It is Bob Probert. Give him a ding. There you go, Ray.
David.
Amazingly, he's also in the top 10 on the Blackhawks' all-time penalty minutes. Love Bob Probert. And finally, from your Montreal Canadiens, their all-time penalty leader.
Can't be that many. Soft team.
So disrespectful.
May have mentioned him before.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Chris Nylund.
Knuckles Nylund is correct. Fellas, let's be careful out there. And as always, stay healthy, boys.
Terrific job, Andy from Eric. The great Andy
from
Eric.
This is what I don't understand. You listen to Andy on our show, right? No. I mean, who knows how many people actually listen to the show? It's only 2 hours. But if I was someone like that did advertising, listening to the show, commercials, Andy from Merrick. Like, you watch some of these commercials, like, I got to watch this Corona commercial. First of all, people aren't drinking Corona because they think they can actually catch Corona from drinking the beer.
Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know about this country?
It does, but why, I mean, why am I watching commercials with Bad Bunny and Snoop talking on seashells?
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
When you could have Andy from
Merrick. That's kind of ridiculous.
It's the worst commercial I've ever seen in my life.
My shell phone?
Yeah,
how corny is that, man?
It's terrible.
It's Playa.
When you could have a spokesman like Andy from Merrick.
Exactly. Stay healthy, my friends. I mean, come on, man. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, it's terrific. Now, here's another question. How is Andy's daily call to us not sponsored?
That's another great question, Rothenberg.
That goes back to the point, like, who's listening? You know what I mean? Like, God forbid the sales department ever listens.
I mean, it's such a sponsorable segment.
I don't know how you wouldn't sponsor it.
Yeah.
It's a staple in the show.
Yeah. And it's terrific, and everybody loves it.
And it's something that we're good at.
And it's uplifting.
It makes
He's always in a good
doesn't
mood.
It? Plus, it makes us feel smart.
Yeah.
People get educated. Like, they can ask their buddies these questions when they
you
get
You can play
work.
Along at home.
Yeah, listen. Some things you just can't explain.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.